Welcome to Career Tools. This week, Dealing with Difficult Bosses. Chapter 2, Bosses Who Won't Make a Decision. Folks, this cast is going to talk about knowing your boss's DISC profile, his or her behavioral styles. And that's a reminder that our new Effective Relationships series of podcasts has come out. It's a product. It's available. No matter whether you're a DIS or C and whether you're directs or DIS or C or your boss is, we've got a cast specifically for you related to your boss and to each one of your directs. Come to the website. Check it out. Effective Relationships. Okay, so I think in the first chapter we covered angry bosses, but now, well, there's a billion different types of difficult bosses. I don't want to know whether or not this is actually about me or not. What can you do about a boss who doesn't make a decision, right?
Well, you can make the decisions for them, but that's not always the wisest thing to do.
Let's be clear. There is an overarching thing here which says we're not going to tell people how to get their boss to make a decision, right? It's not going to happen.
No.
Folks, it's not going to happen. We have been talked about for years. People say, oh, Mark, please tell me how to give feedback to my boss. And we said for years, I've been saying it for 20 years, but in the podcast for the last 8 years, you can't do it. You can't give your boss feedback. And don't expect us to magically give you a pill or your boss a pill so that you can give your boss feedback or get him or her to make a decision. It's not going to happen. It's just not. And some of you are dealing with a boss who never makes decisions, and it is very hard, and we respect that. And all we're going to do is give you mitigation to that situation.
Absolutely.
So how are we going to do it?
So one, check her DISC profile and yours.
Yeah. That would be about effective relationships, right? That would
absolutely
be, okay, good.
Two, present a limited number of options with pros and cons. Three, give the consequences of not making a decision.
Yeah, this is almost like the decision brief a little bit.
It is, yeah. Right? And four, let it go.
Breathe in, breathe out, move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay. So DISC profiles. For those people who don't know, we recommend DISC profiles. They're not a personality instrument. They're a behavioral instrument. They tell you your tendencies about whether you're assertive or reserved and whether you're task or people. Lots of science behind them. We teach DISC as a technology behind our Effective Communications Conference. And you're suggesting here, I assume, that knowing your boss's DISC profile and your profile, particularly if they're different, may be frustrating you enormously. He won't make a decision, she won't make a decision, when in fact, they're just behaving in a way that makes sense to them, but it doesn't make sense to you because you're so different than them.
Absolutely.
Right? Okay.
And different DISC profiles don't make decisions for different reasons. And if you can understand the reasons, that can help you work with the fact that they won't make a decision at your speed.
Right. So, yeah, I'm pretty good at making decisions, but there are times when you ask me for stuff and I just don't respond.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, no, I don't have to make that decision. It's not important to me. And we've talked before about the fact that because I'm a high D, I'm comfortable making decisions quickly on less than complete information to a high C. But we've also talked before that sometimes our ability to make a good decision is limited later in the day because decision making is a bit like willpower in that it tends to be a muscle that wears out over the course of the day. I find that not something that necessarily I agree with, but I understand the science behind it. And so I tend to nod my head toward the science.
Okay? So since one of the things your brain needs is food, and one of the reasons your willpower and your decision making declines, take a muffin with you to your boss.
When you want them to make a decision,
right?
Oh, please.
And then you feed them, then I'm
take
able to
muffin.
Make a decision. No, not really.
Yeah, this will always be known as the take a muffin cast. That's very bad. Okay.
So we can look at why different profiles don't make decisions. So eyes don't make decisions because it shuts down the possibility of doing something else. And eye wants to be able to do everything.
Right.
And if you're deciding on where to have a conference, if you decide on like Orlando, then that means you can't go to Vegas.
Right.
And what if Vegas might be a better time? And
well, also every single option has pluses. Eyes always tend to look at terms of the pluses rather than the minuses. And choosing one of the pluses eliminates all the other pluses as well. Plus, A decision is a choice plus action to implement the choice, as Drucker taught us, and about which we have a podcast, essentially has inherent with it risk. Some people may not like it, whereas if I don't make a decision, maybe only one person will like it, but I definitely won't tick off anybody else by not making a decision because they seem to be copacetic with the status quo, if you will.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And not ticking people off is exactly why high S's don't make decisions.
Somebody won't like it.
Yeah, they're worried about you know, is it worse for the people that are traveling from California to get to Vegas, or is it better to be in the middle, or will the people in Vegas feel left out because they can't stay in the hotel? And so there's a lot of people decisions to consider, and until they're sure that everybody's comfortable and that everybody's getting equal treatment, the high S doesn't really want to make a decision.
And the high C?
They take longer because they want all the data. They don't want the cost difference total, because if you look at hotel costs and, you know, if you're having a conference, there's all sorts of things that some hotels include and some don't. And so you have to, they can't compare apples to oranges, you know. They want to know exactly what you get in each location, and down to the fine detail.
Very fine detail. And literally what type of orange and what type of apple, right? And if you compare two oranges, but they're two different types, then that's a problem for IC. And we're being a little facetious here, folks, whereas the D says, they're both fruit or they're both round, and I'm going to pick.
Yeah.
And by definition, some people aren't going to like it. In fact, I've discovered that even when I pick, everybody can have $1 million, somebody's not going to like it. And so I pick, right?
Yeah.
I will tell you that you say it about D's are comfortable making decisions. Here has been my experience, and I'd be interested, you and I haven't talked about this before, about your take as a high D. My situation, now of course I'm your boss, so that makes it a little bit different, but my take about high D's, when I don't make a decision, the reason I don't make a decision is because if in fact it's a decision that I think I should take, that it's my decision to take or to make, which by the way, is much less likely than a lot of other things. If in fact it's a decision that reaches my level of decision making, then in my mind, the reason I'm not making it is I'm not certain what outcome I want. That's the reason.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So the high D in you is same as me, right? If I can't make a decision, if I look at something and go, gee, it's not obvious to me, it's because I'm not clear about the result I want, okay? So folks, I'm not sure this is helping you a lot, and we generally don't teach what Mark and Wendy think. We don't teach that at all. But that has been my experience. And I think for the majority of people listening, if they work for a D boss, they don't have this worry about a boss who won't make a decision. I'll make a decision, it's X, right? Yeah. No problem. And in fact, the high C's working for the high D boss probably think, I wish he or she would make less decisions, right? Yeah. Or better ones anyway, more perfect decisions. But it's because I'm not clear about what I want as an outcome. If I know what the outcome is, then the decision's very easy. Yeah. I can make the analysis, so on. There's another piece of it though, and this is the bigger one. I just don't think, if I don't make a decision, it's because I don't think I want to make that decision. Because it's not because of willpower. I didn't know the willpower / decision-making ability declines. Although I do know I see more bad decisions made later in the day. I do see that, regardless of the fact that I thought I was unhindered by that rule. But in my mind, I look at it and go, that doesn't really impress me, excite me. I don't feel that decision's all that important, and I'm going to leave it be. And the reason I do is because I expect somebody else to make the decision. And usually what I'm doing, and folks, I'm not saying this is true for your high D boss, usually what I'm doing is saying somebody else, I'm not going to make that decision. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. And I reserve the right, and this is what some people would have a problem with me, and I think a lot of other high D bosses, I reserve the right to let you make that decision and tell you you made the wrong one. Or, now I wouldn't say I would have made a different one. If I would say I would make a different one than you, then I think I've told you that before, but you're not in trouble, you're not being punished, I'm not going to give you negative feedback about it. I'm just going to say, okay, I would have made a different decision. If, in fact, I would have made a different decision than you, and it matters, then I probably would make the decision.
Mm-hmm.
But I just find that many, many high D's, particularly those, we're talking about bosses here, if they're not making a decision, it's because they don't care. And what we have to, what the whole point is, and I'm sorry, folks, I'm going a little long here, is because I think there are those of you who are listening right now who are thinking about your boss, and he or she is a high D, and you're wondering why they're not making a decision. And then you say, well, okay, fine. If he's not going to punch me, that's great. But Mark, I make a decision because he won't, and then I get in trouble. You're not talking, that's not a high D problem. That is an anger or an insecurity problem in your boss.
Yeah.
High D, I, S, or C doesn't say anything about someone's tendency to anger, although D's and I's tend to be more easily angered than S's and C's. The other piece is that it doesn't say anything about self-confidence or insecurity. So those things can absolutely make a difference. But I've just found that I'm not saying I'm true for all high Ds, but I'd be willing to bet that in addition to saying high Ds are willing to make more decisions, they're also willing to tolerate other people making decisions simply because I don't want to make that decision.
Yeah, absolutely. That's,
you still run the risk of being in trouble for it.
Uh-huh.
But folks, you're going to be in trouble one way or the other for doing or not doing.
Yeah.
Okay? All right. Good enough.
Agreed. I don't want to choose my car from Hertz. Hertz can choose it. And I'll be annoyed if they give me the wrong one. But
I, really
but I don't
want
to sit there and choose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's
Whereas
a very...
The high I absolutely wants to choose.
Yeah.
The high S absolutely wants to ask the guy, the person behind the counter, what have other people said? And the high C says, show me the gas mileage, show me the cubic food storage space, you know, show me the cost, show me the add-ons and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the high D says, I don't care.
Yeah, just
right?
do it.
Yeah, in fact, if you'll notice, again, another aside here, folks, there are rental car companies right now, this is fall of 2013, that are advertising, just go right to your car.
Yep.
Why? Because there are a higher percentage in the population of people who travel on business who are high Ds than exist in the general population, and those people don't want to have to choose. Okay, I got five right here. They all look fine. I'll go pick one. Rather than standing in line and being asked questions yeah. about what kind of, oh, no, you're right. No, I don't want that.
Yeah, you're right. Absolutely.
Okay.
I love that.
Okay.
Okay.
So you say we should present a limited number of options.
Yeah, with the pros and cons. So this you have to kind of judge the decision level here. So a big decision like where the company offsite is going to be held, and it's a 3-day thing, it's a big day,
yeah.
then you need to use the SOCCR model that the SOCCR model that we have on another cast, and then you can skip to point three.
Right.
But on smaller decisions, this is one way to get a boss who's not making decisions to make decisions. So,
can I just say the SOCCR model, S-O-C-C-R, is what we call our decision brief. It's the acronym we use for decision brief. So please do look up the decision brief model. In fact, I think we just asked our licensees, several thousand of them, which casts are really, really important.
Yeah, and that's one of the big 10.
Decision brief is one of the big 10.
Yeah, you're right.
I really, really like it. Because I think it's the risk associated with briefing your boss or being in front of another group of people. And generally, you don't brief your peers on decision to be made, you brief higher ups,
mm-hmm.
because you're briefing your peers, if you're the one briefing, you'd be the one making the decision. And so when you're briefing higher ups, you wanna look good about it, and people many people didn't know about decision brief modeling. Or for that matter, they didn't, you know, we're also very well known for the Pre-Wire
mm-hmm.
Podcast. So that's another one that's a top 10, I think.
Yeah.
Okay? Okay, so sorry I interrupted, go ahead.
That's all right. So say we're talking about small decision, which flights to choose on a trip that your boss is making. And then you can give him a limited number of options. And if you've got a Manage Tools boss, do it in your one-on-one because he has to listen to you
yes.
in that 10 minutes. So that makes it easy for you. And depending on whether your boss is a listener or a reader, and we have a cast about
yes.
that too, you might want to print the options out or you might just want to explain them. So, and the other thing is if your boss really is the type that finds it difficult to make decisions, give him one at a time to deal with. So don't say, hey, you're going here.
I need this.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. And it's a judgment call on your part, depending upon your role, about what's big or what's not big.
Mm-hmm.
As a general rule, one of the things that I think of in big is the size of the budget or the cost associated with it. The other thing that I think is that makes things big for me is the length of time that we're going to have to live with it.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, I think the mistake people make is they make small changes in processes, but that process lasts for a long, long time. And if you've got a 50-step process for how you process claims or how you interact with customers or whatever, and you make a change in one step, particularly if your department didn't implement the process to begin with, didn't design the process to begin with, people think, oh, I only made a small change. But it affects every single person using that process until the process is changed again. That's the kind of thing that you might want to ask your boss about. And it may seem small. And if you're wondering, look, guys, come to the forums and say, here's what I'm thinking about doing. You guys who are bosses out there, do you think this is something that would justify a decision brief or briefing or so on? I also like the reader-listener thing. I got to tell you, the number of times people have sent me long, long notes. Guys, I'm not going to read your stuff. I don't want. And then, by the way, a prose paragraph with a bunch of numbers in it. Oh no,
no.
If it's numbers, those of us who have something on the D or the C side of the disc thing, who are analytical at least in part, it's got to be numbers that are either algebraic or geometric
yeah.
or calculus or something. They ought to be in a table, in a form that'll help me. You know, I was helping Drake with his physics homework last night. And, you know, you can't just write numbers down on a page. You can't put them in the middle of a sentence and expect me to do math with them. I won't do it. Okay?
I have one other thing I thought of about whether or not a decision is big or small, and that's the cost to change it, either in time or in cost.
Right.
So cost of changing flights, for example, is usually relatively small. The cost of changing, you know, one step of the process of undoing that for a whole company and there being 50 steps is probably pretty huge. So it's another one.
Yeah, so you mentioned about one decision at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay, so we can give you an example. So, okay, boss, we need to book your flights to Orlando. Outbound, you can take a 9:45, an 11:45, or a 1:45. The earliest arrival is 2:15, and the latest is 6:15.
I can just hear the high C's right now go, okay, well, you're making an assumption there. Does the 9:45 get in at 2:15, or is there a change in planes such that one of them gets in before the other one? What's my total travel time? How much time do I have in Dallas or Atlanta or Chicago or whatever, right? So folks, this is a high D, giving you some basic parameters. If you're a high C or if you have a high C boss, we understand that you would give them
more detail.
And
if you had a high C boss, you'd probably write them down with the departure and the arrival times, because high C's tend to be readers.
Right.
So you let your boss make that decision first, that outbound decision first. And then you say, great, now inbound, there's a 6 a.m., an 8 a.m., and a 10 a.m. The earliest arrives at noon and the latest at 4 p.m.
Yeah, I had a boss once that I used this with, and I said, okay, when do you want to leave by? And then when do you want to come back? And I said, okay, here are the outbounds, okay? Make that choice. And he said to me, well, no, what about the rest? In his mind, he saw it as a trip.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I also knew that his schedule was so tight that really there was a decision about the inbound. And the inbound and outbound are two completely different decisions based on what he's doing in each location, the value of each, in this case, let's say Texas and in Orlando. And he said, well, I need an outbound. I said, well, no, actually, your schedule on Tuesday is different than your schedule on Thursday. So you need to decide when you want to leave on Tuesday. And we can choose any choice, one way or the other. So which one do you want to do? And I would ask the question again. If he then said to me, no, I won't do it without considering both, okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's somebody that doesn't like making decisions, now that he has two decisions to make, it's going to take even longer. But I'm not just going to give him one opportunity, have him say, no, I need to see both, before I ask him again on the first one. I'm willing to have him a little bit irritated with me if, in fact, I get the decision I need. Okay. And again, I'm assuming that he's having me do his flights, and if I don't do them, they won't get done. And I'm not going to be able to say to him, well, you don't have many flights because I've sent you 3 emails. And, right, at some point, I'm going to have to choose.
Yeah.
But okay, good. So we get a decision on the first one before we move on to the second.
Exactly.
One.
So then,
if possible.
And then I wouldn't say anything about the cost until we got those two decisions made. So,
And I would first the outbound, then the inbound.
And I would know roughly how much the different options cost. So I might say something like, first class will be $1,500, and coach will be $750, but the flights are wide open, and we think you'll be upgraded. Are you willing to take that risk?
This must be Orlando, not in August,
yes,
and not in February.
Yeah, Orlando's never wide open, right?
Right.
But it's one decision at a time. That's the point. And it sounds like a bit like we're treating them like a child.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. I don't see that at all. I mean, look, it's entirely possible your boss doesn't trust you and you don't trust your boss. I don't see it coming out that way. I see it as parsing the decision in a way that makes it easy for him or her to make the decision. I can see why somebody would draw that conclusion. But if my boss says to me, well, let me just send me the whole thing and I'll make a decision. And then he makes a decision, I'll be like, okay, fine, great.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that if you're so afraid of angering your boss about making a choice about an airline flight, the solution to that is called get your resume ready. Because you don't need, there's no position that's worth that. That said, all we're doing is suggesting a specific tactic to break up the decision so that your boss doesn't say, oh, there's the inbound and the outbound and the price and the upgrade and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not suggesting we do this with a new boss either. This is, you know, if you've spent 6 months with the boss and you know that every time you've wanted him to make a decision, he's he's put it off and put it off and not right. made decisions, and there's been consequences for those, right. then you can start to use this.
Good. Okay, you mentioned consequences. So we need to let him know that not deciding is a form of decision.
Exactly.
And there's all, by the way, folks, there's all kinds of decision theory stuff out there you can read. And there's a really healthy bit of stuff around status quo or no decision at all. But people tend to leave it out. We're trying to decide between going to Israel or going to Brazil for our next investment. And there's no third option in a decision brief about doing nothing,
yeah.
about not investing or investing somewhere else besides Israel or Brazil. Okay, so go ahead.
So, I mean, we don't really believe in CYA activities, but your boss does need to know what the consequences of making the decision are, especially if you're trying to make him make a decision. So you might say something like, boss, if we don't make a decision today, we'll lose the $5,000 deposit. Or, boss, the 7-day fares won't be available after today. And if he chooses not to make a decision knowing that that's the consequence, then that's not on you.
Yeah. Yeah, I also say this, though. You're right, it's not on that person. I found that there are plenty of bosses who are unwilling to make decisions. And by the way, if it's your boss's decision and she knows it and she doesn't make it, then it is not incorrect to say she is unwilling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You might say, well, she's unable. I'm sorry, if your boss, let's assume she makes $100,000 a year or more, and she make a decision about $2,000 to $4,000 with the travel that's within her travel budget, it's not that she's unable.
No.
It's that she's unwilling. If she's unable to make a decision, she should not be your boss, or he should not be your boss. But here's what I think is interesting. Too often, what people do is they bury the status quo in the last line of a paragraph. Anytime you're talking about a consequence or the choice of non-action, that should be its own paragraph in an email or its own line, or it should come with a but or an or at the beginning. Something, a change in tone that says, we are now not talking about the decision you're going to make, but about the consequences associated with that decision or lack thereof. I get emails from people, and the last line of a long paragraph is something that essentially negates everything in the previous part of the paragraph. And I think people miss that. And when you're talking decisions, which most bosses today, not most, but many bosses today, see as visible risk,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to the invisible risk of doing nothing at all, you've got to make clear the risk of decision and non-decision as a function of choices. Think of decision and non-decision as a choice, as one of the choices, and present it separately so that it's easy. Otherwise, what's happened is they see the one thing, they go, okay, I'll choose that, or I don't like that particular point, and they don't realize there's a far bigger point, which is inaction is going to cost you more than either one of these two
yeah.
actions. Yeah, okay? And the last thing we say is let it go,
yeah.
which is really, in my opinion, guys, the heart of this cast, for
yeah.
me, okay?
Yeah. And we're not saying like abdicate your responsibility
no.
say
and don't blame your boss.
It's the boss's decision. He won't make one, so you know it's all your fault.
Yeah. Well, so when you say let it go, you mean don't get emotionally
absolutely
upset about
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Either way, either upset because you feel like you failed in getting a decision,
right.
or angry because you think your boss is being.
Yeah,
you know, winding you off on purpose.
Yeah. In the same way, if you go back to the beginning of the cast where we talk about the DISC profile, if you're naturally an S or a C, if you're more reserved, if you prefer not to make a decision without consulting with people or without getting more data, and your boss is a high D or a high I, and he or she won't make a decision, start thinking a little bit more analytically about your career and about your profession, and think of it this way. In the next 6 months, this seems to be a pattern with my boss and I. He's not maybe you're a D or I and he's an S or a C or she's an S or a C, regardless of what the profiles are. If there's a pattern, say, okay, I'm gonna make the decision myself. I'm gonna give opportunities. If I don't get an answer, I'm gonna make a decision. Okay? I'm gonna pay attention to the responses I get. Now, it's good to make a note. You could put, by the way, you could put these in your Delta file, which there's a podcast called The Delta File, which we'll leave for you to just define on your own, find on your own if you don't know what it is. Put it in your Delta file. Here's how she responded on this date to this situation here. And after 3 or 4 months, choose a couple where you make the decision, and then choose a couple where you don't make the decision, and see what's worse.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the art of choosing is reducing
the negatives. Certainly we want to maximize the positives, but sometimes if all it is amount of punishment, I'll take the hell I know versus the hell I don't, or I'll take the snide remark rather than the butt chewing in front of everybody in a team meeting. And I find far too few people just make a brief note. It doesn't have to be much. It could be typed into your phone and then just a picture taken of it and put it in Evernote with boss decisions or something like that. It takes 30 seconds. And all of a sudden, after 3 or 4 or 5 months, you realize the pattern is he doesn't care about travel. It's fine. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, he really cares about customer meals or customer visits or whatever. I don't know. I think our travel agent recently said that she couldn't possibly ever work for me recently, right? Because she felt I was really picky. Well, okay, you know, you fly 200,000 miles a year. You're like, if I have a choice, if I spend an extra 5 minutes now, I can save 3 hours of misery on a plane. Yeah, I think I'll spend the 5 minutes now. But for me, I pay attention to that because I travel so much. Mm-hmm. For other people, that may not be important, but you won't know that unless you take some notes and pay attention. And I'll say it again, if your boss won't make a decision, and punishes you if you make a decision or don't make a decision, either way, the problem is not yours, it's your boss's. And frankly, if you're a boss, folks, let this be a lesson to you. If you're being asked to make a decision and you're not willing to make it, then you ought to tell your direct, I'm not gonna make the decision, you make it. And be clear with them that, in fact, if I disagree with you, I'll talk to you about it, but I'll only give you feedback, I'm not gonna punish you, but I want you to learn how to make decisions. The way people learn how to do things is they do them, right? And so you'll have to make decisions. I don't care. And when bosses say I don't care, particularly high D's, what they mean is, I'm not gonna make that decision, but I'll hold you accountable for it the same way I would hold myself accountable for it if it didn't turn out well.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, wrap us up.
Okay, so 1, check her disc profile and yours.
Yep.
2, present a limited number of options with pros and cons. 3, give the consequences of not making a decision. And 4, let it go.
Yeah, decision making, particularly between disc styles, is a source of conflict. And when there's role power involved, there's even more conflict involved. And the friction won't go away, but you can reduce it with a little thinking in advance. And I'll just mention our effective relationships cast. If you have a different profile than your boss, you need to get a copy. You need to buy the effective relationships cast that relate to you and your boss, and potentially to you and your subordinates, so that you can ease some of that through effective planning and communication.
Yeah, makes such a difference.
Okay, thanks. Yeah.
Thanks, bye everyone.
That's it, everybody. Hope that helped. I know we didn't help you figure out how to get your boss to make a decision, but we told you how to deal with it. Hopefully that's enough. Remember, you can't change your boss,